Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring the fascinating world of solutions.
Solutions.
Yeah, solutions.
Yeah.
You know, like the stuff we encounter every day.
Yeah.
From the air we breathe,
right,
to the sweet tea we might be sipping on. There's more to solutions than meets the eye, though.
Oh, yeah.
A lot going on at the molecular level.
For sure. For sure. And that's what makes solutions so fascinating. Like, when you really understand solutions,
yeah,
it gives you a glimpse into how all these different substances interact with each other.
Exactly. So, to kick things off, let's go back to basics. Our source material lays out some key definitions.
Okay.
And I think it's a good place to start. We often hear about mixtures,
mm-hmm,
but they're different types, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is the difference between a heterogeneous mixture,
okay,
and a homogeneous one?
Well, a heterogeneous mixture, right, is where the components are like visibly distinct.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, when you have a bowl of mixed nuts and you can see each different type of nut and you can easily separate them, right?
Yeah.
Another example would be like a salad. You got all these different ingredients that are just kind of tossed together, but
yeah, yeah. So it's not all blended smoothly.
Exactly. Yeah. You can see all the separate parts. Now, a homogeneous mixture, on the other hand, that's where everything is evenly blended throughout.
Okay.
It's like when you stir sugar into your tea.
Right.
You can't see those individual sugar crystals anymore,
mm-hmm,
but you know it's all mixed in there, right? You can taste the sweetness.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that's where solutions come in, right? They're like,
yeah,
a special type of homogeneous mixture.
Exactly, precisely. So a solution is a homogeneous mixture where one substance, which we call the solute,
okay,
dissolves evenly into another substance, which we call the solvent.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the key. In a solution, the solute and the solvent are not chemically bonded.
Yeah.
They're just like really, really well mixed.
They're just hanging out together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So the source material also points out that you can't filter out the dissolved particles in a solution,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they won't settle over time either.
Yeah.
It also emphasizes that the concentration of a solution,
mm-hmm,
can vary. What does that mean exactly?
Well, think about it this way. When you're making lemonade, right,
mm-hmm,
you can add just a little bit of lemonade powder to the water to,
right,
get a weaker, less tart drink, or you can add a lot more powder,
yeah,
for like a more intense flavor. In both cases, you still have a solution.
Right.
But the concentration of the lemonade powder, which is our solute, right,
mm,
is different. And that's a really crucial characteristic of solutions. You can adjust their strength.
That's interesting. Oh, so you, yeah, can have like weak solutions or strong solutions, depending on,
exactly, yeah, precisely,
how much solute you put in there.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool how such a simple concept like dissolving can have so many like nuances.
Absolutely. Yeah. And while we often think of solutions as being liquids, like, you know, the lemonade, solutions can actually exist in all different states of matter.
Wait, really? Like what else besides liquids?
Yeah. So, you know, liquid solutions are the most common for sure, like,
yeah,
the lemonade we just talked about, or salt water. But then you also have solid solutions.
Solid solutions.
A good example of a solid solution would be a metal alloy. Like brass, for instance, is a solution of zinc dissolved in copper. And that gives it different properties than just pure copper.
That's amazing. I never thought of metal alloys as solutions.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So what about gases?
Mm.
Can gases form solutions too?
They absolutely can. The air we breathe, right? It's a perfect example of a gaseous solution.
Okay.
Primarily nitrogen and oxygen gases all mixed together.
Wow. So whether we're talking about sweet tea or metal tools or the air around us, we're dealing with solutions. That's pretty incredible.
It really is, yeah.
But how does this dissolving process actually work? What's happening at that molecular level?
Well, it all comes down to a process called solvation. Imagine water molecules, which are polar, right? They have slightly positive and negative ends.
Okay.
And they surround a sugar molecule. So the positive ends of the water molecules are attracted to the negative parts of the sugar molecule and vice versa.
Okay.
It's kind of like a little tug of war happening, right? With, mm-hmm, the water molecules pulling the sugar molecule apart and surrounding each little piece.
So it's like a molecular dance. The water molecules are pulling the sugar apart, uh-huh, and then evenly distributing it throughout the solution.
Precisely. Exactly. And since water is so often the solvent, we have a special term for this process when it involves water.
Hydration.
Hydration. Okay. Yeah. So that's starting to paint a clearer picture. The source material also mentions dissociation.
Yes.
How does that fit in?
Dissociation is what happens specifically when ionic compounds dissolve.
Okay.
Let's go back to salt water for an example.
When salt, which is sodium chloride, dissolves in water, it doesn't just stay as a single unit. Instead, it breaks apart into its individual ions.
Okay.
So you have the positively charged sodium ions and the negatively charged chloride ions.
Mm-hmm.
And these ions then get surrounded by those water molecules we were talking about earlier.
So the water molecules are essentially breaking apart the ionic compound and then surrounding each individual ion.
Exactly.
Like it's a well-coordinated team effort at the molecular level.
It truly is. Now, you might be thinking all this mixing and separating has got to involve some energy changes, right?
I was just going to ask that. The source mentions an endothermic step and an exothermic step.
Yes.
Can you unpack those for us?
Absolutely. So first, it takes energy to break the bonds holding the solute particles together, right?
Right.
So that initial separation process is what we call endothermic, meaning it absorbs energy from the surroundings.
Okay.
It's kind of like if you were heating up sugar to melt it. You're giving it energy for the bonds to break.
Got it. So then the exothermic step is when the solute particles are surrounded by the solvent particles, right?
Yes, exactly. As those new interactions form between the solute and the solvent particles, that's when energy is released. And that's the exothermic step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you add a concentrated acid to water, it releases heat, right?
Right.
And it's super important, by the way, to always add acid to water, not the other way around, to make sure that release of energy is controlled.
Okay, safety first.
Yes, always.
So this whole dissolving process is like a two-step dance.
Mm.
First, absorbing energy to break bonds, then releasing energy as new interactions form.
Yeah.
And the overall energy change of that entire process is called the enthalpy of solution, right?
Right, enthalpy of solution.
But what determines how quickly something dissolves?
Well, that's where factors like temperature, stirring, and surface area come into play.
Okay. So like when I'm making iced tea and I want the sugar to dissolve faster, I should use hot water instead of cold.
Exactly. Yeah. Higher temperatures mean the molecules are moving faster, bumping into each other more frequently, which speeds up the dissolving. Think about how much quicker rock salt dissolves in warm water compared to like ice cold water.
Right. Right. And stirring helps too, right?
Yeah. Stirring definitely helps because it distributes the solute particles.
Okay.
And brings fresh solvent in contact with them, which speeds things up.
So it's like keeping things moving, keeping things mixing. What about surface area? The source material mentioned that too.
Right. So think about trying to dissolve a sugar cube versus like granulated sugar.
Mm-hmm.
That granulated sugar with all its smaller particles and its greater surface area, it's going to dissolve way faster because more of it is in contact with the solvent at any given time.
It's like more surface area, more dissolving power.
Exactly.
Man, this deep dive has been incredible. We've learned that solutions are everywhere, from the air we breathe to the materials we use every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also uncovered this fascinating molecular dance of solvation and all the different factors that can influence how quickly things dissolve.
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it, how these seemingly simple processes are actually governed by such complex interactions at the molecular level.
Absolutely. And what's even more amazing is that all these principles of solutions, they apply to so many different fields. You know, pharmacists use them to develop medicines.
Right.
Engineers use them to create new materials.
Mm-hmm.
And environmental scientists use them to understand, you know, all the processes that are shaping our planet.
It goes to show how interconnected all these different scientific disciplines really are.
Absolutely. So to our listeners out there, keep exploring, keep asking questions, because the world of chemistry is full of fascinating discoveries.
Oh, yeah.
Just waiting to be made.
Always something new to learn.
Exactly.
Love it.
All right. Until next time.
See you then.